So, harsh lockdowns have been the catalyst for breakdowns of many marriages across the world as couples have been forced to spend extra time cooped up together with the kids as well. For parents grappling with divorce, we're joined for some advice now with solicitor, mediator and author Kirsty Salvestro. Good morning, Kirsty.
Hi, Jenny. How are you going?
Really well, thank you. Are you seeing more divorces at the moment from clients?
Look, I'm definitely getting a lot more inquiries. It's a really stressful, difficult time for people. So people who perhaps were thinking about it or struggling are kind of moving to that next level where they're definitely starting to feel the pressure and looking at other options to change their families around, unfortunately.
Yeah, although sometimes you need to make that call, I guess, for the welfare of everyone, including the kids, right?
You do, absolutely. I mean, it definitely, although separation is difficult, sometimes it's the best thing for a family.
So if a couple with kids are, you know, getting a divorce or separating, should they be making formalised parenting arrangements or what should they be doing when it comes to thinking about the kids?
Look, it all depends on the couple, to be honest with you. There's three different ways that you can actually sort out your parenting arrangements. One is the really simple way of pretty much doing nothing at all. That means the two of you can sit down, you're amicable, you're able to work out exactly what you want to do with the kids, and you don't have to formalise it if you don't want to. Some people feel that they need to, and then so the options there's a non-legal option, which is called a parenting plan. It's not legally binding, but it's certainly evidence of an agreement between the parents. And so some parents will actually go to that step of saying, look, we're still amicable, but we'd like a plan in place and put as much information as they can into that. The other option, which is the legally binding option, is to get a court order. And court orders can be done by consent again, so the parents can sit down, work out the plan and have that made into a formal court order. Or, unfortunately, some parents do need to get some, you know, further assistance and perhaps litigate or get mediate in order to get those done.
Oh, right. So take us through that one when you do need mediation.
So mediation is my favourite option. I'm a mediator. I love mediation. The reason I love it is because you can sit two people down, get both sides of the story, open up the lines of communication really well so that perhaps parents who are really struggling to communicate with each other, that third person comes in and, you know, gets both sides of the story first, then sits them down together and can actually identify all the issues that they might come across, but at the same time can also perhaps suggest some things that might come up in the future given their experience, help them actually then write out the exact plan that they need for their children, work on all those issues, try and reach an agreement so that it can then be taken away then and formalised if they do want to then formalise it after that.
With me at the moment is mediator and solicitor from Flourish Family Law, Kirsty Salvestro. All right, so tips for co-parenting. If a couple has decided to split or divorce, they're figuring out how to break up the time between the kids. What do you reckon? Any recommendations?
Look, I've got heaps of tips for co-parenting. I co-parent myself. So I know it is really tricky and it can become very emotional. So you do need to take the emotion out of it and look at things from the other side of the parent. So you do need to perhaps step in their shoes and feel and think about what it is that everybody needs to make this work. So to do that, I say to be try and be really flexible as much as possible. And, you know, remember that perhaps the other parent has some different parenting styles that you need to take into consideration. Certainly things like encouraging the time and the connections with the other parents, you know, encouraging some phone time, or it might be FaceTime. If certainly with COVID, we've had to use FaceTime and other means of communication. Depending on the age, the children can do a lot of that themselves in text message. And it might be just giving them a prompt to talk to the other parent and make sure there's some really good communication still happening so everyone's feeling up to date. And on that note, I would say keep each other up to date as much as possible. If it is a text message or create a way to communicate with the other parent, whether it's email or text, about how the kids are going or a school issue or, you know, might just be an issue with friends at school or something, just so that both parents are really feeling involved in the, you know, the children's lives. The other big things, I guess these are more no-nos, are things like don't go and just make unilateral decisions. Don't go and decide to change their schools or, you know, perhaps even a medical or dental issue. Work together as a team and try and actually communicate and discuss those issues. I know that's really hard at times, but the more you do it, the easier it does get.
Any tips for actually trying to be civil when maybe the other person isn't being civil?
It is really hard. What you need to do is just focus on your behaviour. So the best way to make someone else civil is for you to be civil. So if they're being, adversarial, they're trying to create arguments, just don't get pulled into it. Don't respond negatively. Don't have those, screaming matches that you really feel like you need to do. If you need to take the time away from that person and not respond and take extra time, then do that. But it's really about if you can focus on your behaviour and your responses, I'm big on that. That really can make a big difference when you're communicating with someone who's very negative.
Any tips on negotiating things like special events and Christmas?
Look, it is definitely something that often, there's a standard rule. There's a standard arrangement that parents use. It's very much, my tip is to make sure that, I guess everyone's beliefs and wishes are being taken into account. There may be different wishes about how to spend Christmas Day with the children. Often I find that someone would prefer the morning and the other would prefer the evening. So perhaps you can share the day. It's really about being really open and exploring all those options together. If you need a mediator to help you talk about those things, then you can do that. I really do encourage people to encourage the children to also be part of both Christmases with the other parents, whether it's buying a gift for the other parent or making a gift or a card or something, just to sort of, I guess, take away any tensions and make sure that you're seen as trying to encourage that special time with the other parent.
And what about helping the children to not feel like they're constantly, going from one place to the next and they're exhausted, always having to be at different houses, different places, different lives?
Look, that is a really hard one, and I've had different parents say different things at different ages. You might have, for young children, it's quite tricky for the parents because they're the ones who are, organising and doing all the to-ing and fro-ing. But when the kids get older, if they're teenagers, they're the ones having to remember their football boots or their socks or their uniforms and things like that. Really, it's about routine, I think, and that idea of communicating with the other parent. The more that you can work together, whether it may be, look, let's work out and have a uniform at each house, or let's make sure that the night that you take, I will work out, I'll make sure that the bag's packed and all the things are in there that you need. There's so many ways that you can work together to make sure that, there's no confusion or no quick arguments or last-minute messages worrying that we've missed something or that the kids don't have the things they need. So the more the parents can do to have a really good schedule and really good communication, it will then help the kids feel less stressed about the moving backwards and forwards.
Lovely to get some advice from you today, Kirsty Silvestro. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You can find out more from Kirsty at flourishfamilylaw.com.au.